I'm Ian McIntosh, and welcome to Track FC, your concise yet comprehensive thrice-a-week show. It's football. Fast, no faff, no rambling intros. Let's get started. All right, can the Arsenal fans unclench now? It's been a long week. There was a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of talk about Mikel Arteta not being the guy, a lot of talk about caution not being the way, and now Arsenal have beaten Leeds 4-0 in their own house. Aston Villa have fallen to Brentford in their own house. And it doesn't really matter whose house you play Tottenham in. You really shouldn't squander a 2-0 lead and walk away with just a point, no matter how ridiculously good the crucial goal is.
Gallagher snatched it. And Gallagher plays awesome. It in. Oh, it's dropped in. That's extraordinary.
Arsenal are 6 points clear at the top, and yes, there are 14 games still to go, but their anxious fans really need to start trying to enjoy this. A 4-0 win at Leeds is a huge thing for a team frequently accused of lacking bottle. Now, you do wonder if it also suggests that the Arsenal players find their own supporters more intimidating than the ones in Elland Road. Who's to say? The Gunners have Sunderland, Brentford and Spurs next in the Premier League. And look, I don't like saying this because Lola Katz Roberts will be insufferable. But guys, look at how Liverpool's fans were in 2014 when they appeared to be heading for their first title in Yonks. The support was incredible. There were songs, there were bus welcomes, there was pyro. It was extraordinary. Now, I've watched you for years, Arsenal. In a professional capacity, I might add. I'm like your university friend. I've seen you in all sorts of states. This is the best I've seen you for 20 years or more. Rise up. Enjoy the ride. Stop groaning in displeasure at every misplaced pass. Because it really, really does look like it's going to be your year. And if nothing else, Arsenal fans, just have a look at how your old friends in Stratford are getting on.
Caicedo. Frau Pedro.
Now look, I'm a Southend fan, so there's not a lot of love for West Ham in my house, but even I felt sorry for them on Saturday evening when a 2-0 lead at Stamford Bridge morphed into a 3-2 defeat at Stamford Bridge like some horribly familiar anxiety dream. It could have been worse for them though. Nottingham Forest could have extended that gap to 8 points, not 6, but they were held to a draw by Crystal Palace on Sunday. Huge credit to Chelsea boss Liam Rosinia though, a man who aged visibly as the first half unfolded. 4 changes before the start of the second half, though. A game transformed, a stadium quivering on its foundations, a fan base electrified. But don't think I didn't notice scores of people leaving on 90 minutes. I bet they're regretting that now. Well, Rosinia has won 3 Premier League games in a row, and Chelsea's next 3 Premier League games are Wolves, Leeds and Burnley. They have a pretty good chance of 4th now. Liverpool are still in that battle too, of course. And remember those days when they'd win if they scored first and lose if they didn't? All in the past now, evidently. They went 1-0 down to Newcastle on Saturday and wound up 4-1 winners thanks to Fernando Ekitike. That's 10 goals in 2 games for manager Arne Slot, clearly a man who should be sacked immediately, as so many hard-of-memory Liverpool fans have been saying of late. God, I'm so sorry I'm swinging at everyone today. It's narrow margins, though, isn't it? After 85 minutes at Old Trafford, Michael Carrick was set to stencil his name into the front of the manager's door. His side were 2-0 up on Fulham and heading for 3 consecutive wins and a looming haircut for that odd boy on social media. Well, after 91 minutes, it was 2-2 and time to pounce at anyone who said, give it Carrick till the end of season. And then Benjamin Šeško paid off all of his transfer fee with a 94th-minute winner and... Now I don't know what to think. I sincerely hope that David Moyes' knees are all right this morning, though, after his jubilant dance down the touchline on Saturday. Everton were heading for defeat at Brighton until Beto's 97th-minute leveller, and Moyes' David Pleat-style celebrations actually earned him a yellow card, something that did not amuse him one bit.
Now, the difference is David Pleat doesn't get booked for it, does he? They think it's okay and everybody enjoys seeing the celebrations. We're getting killing it that the managers can't come out their technical area to celebrate a goal or knee slide and do things which all gave you people probably quite a bit to talk about. It's strange that it's the first thing you've asked me. You know, you're not talked about the game, you've talked about me celebrating on the pitch.
Dan, it's 10 points from a possible 12 for Bournemouth now after they beat Wolves 2-0. They're going to be just fine. So, what does it all mean? Well, Arsenal are top with 53 points, and it's Man City with 47 and Villa with 46. Manchester United have the upper hand in the battle for fourth. They have 41, then it's Chelsea with 40 and Liverpool with 39. At the bottom, we have Wolves with 8. Then Burnley with 15, but they play at Sunderland tonight. West Ham have 20 and are 6 behind Forest and Leeds, and 9 behind Palace and Spurs. Fancy a wager on the battle for fourth? Our friends at FitzDares have Liverpool and Manchester United both at 10 to 11 on, which means better quid win 91p. Chelsea are 6 to 4, which is better quid win a quid 50, while Newcastle are 24 to 1 and Brentford are 25 to 1. If you like those odds or you'd like to see other odds and you're over 18, visit FitzDares.com, but please gamble responsibly. Barcelona went 4 points clear at the top of La Liga on Saturday night when they beat Elche 3-1. A goal there for Marcus Rashford to bring his Barcelona tally to 10. But that lead was reeled back into just a single point on Sunday when Real Madrid beat Rayo Vallecano 2-1. It came at a cost, though, and for England, potentially, Jude Bellingham withdrawn in tears with what looked like a hamstring injury. Atletico Madrid stay in third, but they were held to a goalless draw by Levante, so I think we can put down any talk of an unlikely late rally from them. Now, what is going on in Germany? Bayern Munich dropped more points on Saturday. They could only draw 2-2 with Hamburg, and they might even have lost that one. Manuel Neuer with a fine save to deny Fabio Vieira. Remember him? Hamburg's loney forward. That gave Borussia Dortmund the chance to cut the lead to 6 points, a chance they nearly blew when they found themselves 2-1 down to Heidenheim. They recovered though, they won 3-2, and yes, Hoffenheim remain in third place. They won their fifth Bundesliga game in a row, they beat Union Berlin 3-1, and they are leaving the likes of Leverkusen and RB Leipzig in their rearview mirror. Inter are still top of Serie A, 8 points clear at the top. In fact, they beat Cremonese 2-0, and yes, Lautaro Martinez scored. Second place, Milan are yet to play. They've got Bologna tomorrow. And Napoli kept their faint title hopes alive. They beat Fiorentina 2-1, and they are third. In Ligue 1, Lyon returned to the top of the pile on Friday when they beat Le Havre 1-0, but only until Paris Saint-Germain ended Gary O'Neill's winning start at Strasbourg. They beat them 2-1. They also did it while reduced to 10 men after Achraf Hakimi was dismissed with 15 minutes to go. And in Scotland, the league we considered ignoring and we're so glad we didn't. Hearts went to Tannadice and beat Dundee United 3-0. The hosts ended that one with just 9 men. Celtic moved into second on goals scored. They beat Falkirk 2-0, while Rangers could only draw with Hibs. We had Simon Lillibury on last week to discuss Coventry and the small matter of their wheels coming off. It's not getting any better over there. Frank Lampard's Sky Blues were beaten 2-1 by Queen's Park Rangers, and they are now level on points with Middlesbrough. What a job Kim Hellberg has done there. They've come through that nasty Christmas wobble and put 4 consecutive wins together. Ipswich needed a last-gasp penalty to salvage a draw at home to Preston, so their third-place slot has been snaffled by Hull, who have quietly slipped into contention while no one was looking. But what is going on at West Bromwich Albion? They were beaten 3-0 by struggling Portsmouth. Manager Eric Ramsey is still without a win, and it's only Blackburn's defeat to Hull that's kept them out of the relegation zone. They haven't been in the third flight since 1993 and the days of Bob Taylor. They might want to give him a call, he could probably do a job for them. Who will do a job for Watford, though? Yes, for the 23rd time since the Pozzo family took over in 2012, there's a big vacancy at Vicarage Road. After a run of 5 games without a win that started immediately after we praised them on this show, the club announced on Sunday that Xavi Grazia felt he no longer had the motivation and was not the right man to continue coaching this exciting group of young players. The bookies' early favourites for Watford's next permanent manager are Will Still, Marty Cifuentes and Ian McIntyre. Oh God, no. We had a lot of lovely responses to Friday's show and that little reminder that Southend United's all-time record against Manchester United is played 1-1-1. Hello to Tatter Sky, 8 Ace, Basildon Steve, James Weller, Matt Walker, Graham V and Mr B. And I think that is most of the South Stand upper accounted for. Got some time for book club. I've never had a podcast I haven't managed to crowbar book club into, and this week it's Once Upon a Time in La Liga, a lovely collection of lesser known tales from Spanish football by Brendan Madden, including the story of Johan Cruyff's time at Levante in the Spanish second division, which I knew nothing about, nor did I know that the Dutch master chose Levante above being shouted at by Jock Wallace at Leicester City or a stint with Dumbarton. What might have been, eh? Once Upon a Time in La Liga is out on one of my favourite publishers, Pitch Publishing, and there's a link in the episode description. And some personal news. This is going to be the last Track FC for a little while, but not the last ever. Please, don't unsubscribe. We will be back. Something's come up. It's very exciting. You're definitely going to like it, but it requires my full attention. So I'm going to take a break from all other activities, and I'll be back in 2 months. So again, don't unsubscribe. We will be back. And in greater numbers. Also, just to avoid any unfortunate rumours, let me be clear, I'm not pregnant. That was Track FC. It was football fast, no faff. It's been nothing less than a pleasure to keep you informed for the past 7 months. Huge thanks to everyone who's contributed to producer Cy, to producer Helena, to Chris in the writer's room and Lola Katz Roberts, and to you, listener, for supporting us. I've been Ian McIntosh, and this isn't over.